Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Redneckinize.com. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check us out. Like I said, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody calling in and participating. Also, like I said, redneckinize.com. That's our website. You can find all the links to our great social media accounts. Also, we're on YouTube Live. So you can check a link to that at redneckinize.com. We appreciate everybody watching on Redneckinize YouTube channel. And like I said, check us out. We're always Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. Check us out. And we're just talking about all things trucking and then some. It's the do-it-yourself trucker, talking about just common sense trucking solutions, talking about what's going on out there to be prepared, what's going to happen, what changes affecting everybody, that kind of stuff. We appreciate everybody joining along. So check us out. So not a lot of happened. In the news, there was an article that got posted last week over there on FreightWaves.com, and it was talking about how the Department of Labor, the federal government, is going to start looking at changing the rules about independent contractors, which, you know, they're just going after all these guys that want to be able to work for themselves. And as an owner-operator truck driver, you got to watch out for that because the rules can definitely affect you. So we got to look into that. You know, a lot of rules are vague. A lot of truck drivers out there will tell you that, you know, there's certain things that the carrier can't do and what they can do. And really it boils down to is they can pretty much tell you whatever they want to do. If you're leased onto the carrier, if you're, you know, saying, hey, I'll haul freight under your authority, you're pretty much allowing them to do whatever they want to do. Because, you know, the rule is that as long as they don't dictate to you when you can and can't work. So basically, if you say, I'm going to take the day off, you're technically an independent contractor. That's basically all there is. You know, you don't have any say. They don't have any say in when you work. You want to work, you tell them, I'll work here, and you do the job. You agree to haul a load. Once you're done with that load, you're no longer obligated to work for them. Unlike others in the company driver, you have to request time off. You have to be there at a certain time. You have to show up when they tell you, when you say, you know, when they tell you to show up. An independent contractor, you tell them, I'll be there at 8. You know, I'll be there at 10. I'll be there at 6. You know, that kind of thing. As far as showing up. Now, I'm not saying that you can dictate to you with the appointments and all that. You know, those all get scheduled. But when you agree to show up at 8 a.m. to pick up a load, then you agree to show up at 8 a.m. to pick up a load. So that kind of thing. You say, you know, I want to pick that load up at 10, and they say, no, you got to have it picked up by 8. You know, that's, you know, it's all predetermined. Which brings us to our next point, where we got to start standing up. We got to start sticking up to these carriers, most of all shippers, but carriers and any agents that we might want to work for. You know, we might be hauling under a certain carrier's authority, but a lot of us work for independent agents or brokers, and those are the people we got to start sticking up to. And these carriers, you know, a lot of times we don't actually let the carriers don't stand behind us when we need to stick up for these for all of this stuff going on out there with the brokers double booking freight, changing the dollar amount, changing the times, changing the miles, changing things. Once you agree, I'll haul this load for this amount at this weight, whatever, and then you get there and it's extra heavy, and they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't, you know. And then, but if you if you deal with any kind of load confirmation, a lot of times it'll say in there, it'll be vague to what the load might be. So a lot of times you'll always agree, you know, most drivers will tell you, a lot of the good brokers will always tell you, it's going to be heavy. It's going to be heavy. So you got to agree to haul it to be heavy. If it's light, just good thing for you. You know, there are brokers out there that will tell you, oh, it ain't but 30,000. It ain't but 20,000. And you get there and it's 40, 45. And they screwed you. You know, because the shipper, they don't care. What do you call, I remember going to hauling water out of East Texas out there. I think it's Hawkins, Texas. It's where the Oasis, it's the Ozarka. There's an Ozarka plant out there. And they haul water. And there was a couple of guys showed up. They were in those big nose peats, you know, hauling like a, maybe even a reefer. They were in a 45 or 48 foot reefer. And they loaded that water on there and they scaled it and it scaled out. I mean, they were like, you know, 85,000 gross. They went back in there and they said, hey, you got to take some off. And they said, no. They said, according, you know, the contract that you agreed to per whoever it is you booked the load through, they agreed to haul this amount of weight. So if you can't haul it, then we'll unload it and they'll send somebody else. But you got to haul what we put in the trailer. So that's what it is. So we got to start saying, hey, you know, we can't haul with this. You know, you got to tell them. Because a lot of them, they're going to try to screw you. And then that time you spent, you're not going to get paid. You know, the time you spent over there waiting to get loaded. And believe me, if you're getting live loaded, then you're waiting. You know, that kind of thing. So yeah, we got to start, you know, calling it and saying, hey, I ain't doing this. I ain't going to do this no more. And I don't know. I would like to see more drivers stick up for that stuff. You know, I mean, what we'll see is I think there's more good drivers than there are those bad drivers that'll just take pennies on the dollar. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, and if you're a company driver out there, you know, just make sure you're getting paid good. If you're a good driver, company, owner, operator, you should be making good money. Bottom line. So that boils down to it, is we're all here about trying to help out the driver, trying to take care of the driver and do those kind of things, make sure the driver is doing what's best for them. So that's all we're talking about. So like I said, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Be sure to go follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and we got Twitter too. We're also on YouTube. Like I said, we're on YouTube Live right now. Call us in, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going to step away a little bit, and what we're going to do is I'm going to talk about over the weekend I was at a Trump rally, and it was pretty interesting to me. It's probably the first and last time that I'll ever do that. So yeah, check that out. Like I said, come right back, and we'll see you guys here in a second. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio.
You know that chick that used to dance a lot? Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't want to know, forget her. The boys are back in town. I see it.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800 800- 334-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We also are on Facebook, YouTube as well. We're also on YouTube Live right now. So if you're unable to call in at any time, you can always check us out on YouTube. And the videos are the recordings of our shows. They stay on YouTube. So you can go check out past episodes and all that stuff like that. So it's always a great time to follow up on what's going on in the world of trucking and in the world of Redneckinize. And we appreciate everybody following along and being supporters of Redneckinize. One of the great supporters that we've got out there is DPF Regeneration, the dpfregeneration.com. Those are the guys over there that if you've got particulate filters, you know, you've got, we've got that regen system, or you might even have the SCR where it's the death fluid. You know, a lot of those parts, they're hard to find, and a lot of people don't know how to work on them. Well, DPF Regeneration, they got years and years of diesel equipment service experience. And it's all side diesel engines. So if you got diesel pickup, you need some help with that, check them out. Like I said, it's dpfregeneration.com. Check them out. It's DPF Regeneration. We appreciate all their support for Redneckinize. So I was just looking here at what's going on in the news. And at cdllife.com, good people over at cdllife.com, we appreciate all their support, and they always try to help us out, and we always like to use their website for any kind of news that we got. And they're pretty much, what they do is they give you kind of the gist of boiling over, you know, and then they give you the links to the actual what's going on, you know. So in this one here, this one's a really good one, because let's see here. It's an ad from a senator over there, and it's the guy that's running for Senate. He's the current senator, that Mark Kelly. I don't know if you guys know. He's the guy, you know. I mean, I don't know. He might not be liberal, but he's over there on the liberal side because I think it's easier to get votes over there. That's what I keep claiming, that it's easier to get people to vote for you if you're a liberal, because as long as you tote that line, ain't nobody going to try to cancel you like those others over there. If you're a Republican, they're going to call you racist. You know, he at least he doesn't get called a racist, you know, and he doesn't all that, but he votes for the Democrats most of the time. So, you know, that's pretty much why he don't need to be in office if he's going to keep doing that. But, you know, he's an astronaut. And, I mean, he's one of those guys where he's like, I love the Second Amendment. Well, you don't need assault weapons. I mean, it's like, what's an assault weapon? I have no idea what you're talking about. I have rifles. They're semi-automatic, but I don't know what an assault weapon is. So he's one of those guys, and of course, you know, so anything he says, you got to watch out for. And what it is here, the headline for CDLLife.com is Arizona Senator vows to fix the trucking industry by cutting red tape and new campaign ad. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? You know, the big problem, I think, with the trucking industry is a lot of stuff's just way too easy. It's just too damn easy. to get into the industry. I mean, let's face it. How many of you guys out there right now, you're driving a truck and you stop to get fuel, and there's so many people that are in the fuel island, they have no idea what the hell they're doing. And you ask them, you know, maybe you start up a conversation with them and you find out they actually got their own authority. You know, they've only been in the industry. They might have been only in the country for 6 months or a year. And they already got their own authority, truck driving. You know, and hey, more power to you when you come over here to the United States and you wanna come to the country and you wanna work and make a living. But come on, man. You know, learn the ways, do the job, and you see most of them, they don't. You know, they don't. They just we know that in a lot of other countries, the safety standards are very low, you know, all that kind of stuff. They don't wear the proper clothes. They don't use the proper equipment. They don't even take care of their equipment properly. So they come over here and they just do the same thing. And I mean, it's honest. That's anybody out there. Now, there's a lot of these. We see them out there, redneck truckers, you know, out there doing the same thing. But you know what? You know, at least when we tell them they're doing it wrong, they understand what we're talking about. You know, you try to tell the guy you do that wrong, he don't know. You know, so that's the thing is that as truck drivers out here, Redneck and I is one of those where we see something wrong, we're going to say it, no matter who it is. And that's my whole thing. So I wanted to listen to this guy's ad and see what he's got going on here. And let me move it over here to the screen share, and we'll check it out. I'm just going to tell you, it's too vague, of course, too vague. And what they're trying to do, I mean, so here's the thing. He's talking about trying to cut the red tape so drivers can get to work. Well, what red tape are you trying to cut? Do you want to cut requirement to pass a drug test? Okay, that's fine. You know, do that. There's a lot of good people out there that that could, you know, benefit from being a truck driver, and maybe they have a prescription medication that they're not taking, or they're taking, and that precludes them from being a truck driver. You know, I mean, let me tell you this, okay? There's a lot of people that maybe have some type of illegal drug use in their past, preclude them from being able to become a truck driver, or there are good people that might even partake on a, you know, biannual basis. You know, when you decide to take a vacation, you take a 2 weeks vacation, you still can't do any, you know, anything that everybody else is doing. Let's just face it. And then when you come back to work, you know, you have to abide by those rules. There are tons and tons of drivers out there. Tons of drivers are currently driving right now on the highway right now at no business being out there because of health reasons. They have heart conditions. They have like obesity or diabetes, and they, you know, like, I don't know if the government wants to get rid of any type of requirements, but normally when you do a physical to be able to become a truck driver, they give you a 2-year physical, which means you come in here and you do, the doctor sees you and the doctor says, hey, you look pretty good. You know, here's a card, maximum 2 years. Every 2 years, you got to go get a physical. Now, the doctor, if you have any kind of issues, the doctor may say, you know what, you're doing real good, but let's say I need you to come back next year. So he gives you a 1-year physical. A lot of the drivers right now out there that have sleep apnea only get a 1-year physical. Every year they got to go see the doctor. They're only given 1 year. Now, if you're out there and you have sleep apnea and you're given 2 years, that's great. I don't know that many. So, but they're only given 1 year. And every year they got to check it in because they have to use the machine. And sometimes these carriers, these companies are requiring to be like the machine be linked to the internet so they can go look at, you know, how, because they've got apps and different things where it keeps track of it on the internet of if you're using the machine. If you're not using the machine, then they don't want you working. And you go in and, of course, the report prints out. The doctor wants to see that report. Are you using the machine? How is the machine affecting you? Are you using it, you know, enough and all that. So they only give you 1 year. A lot of drivers have big problems, maybe even like they have physical abilities, like maybe they got a bad knee or they've got a bad back, stuff like that. And they only give you, they give you a year. They'll give you 6 months. They'll even give you a 3 month physical. And I think a lot of carriers are going to, like, if you can't get at least 6 months, then we're not going to deal with you. If you can't get at least 1 year, we're not going to deal with you. And a lot of these insurance companies are doing that, where they're not, they're saying, hey, we got to have healthy people out there, because if something happens, you know, on the road, they don't want you having some kind of an attack or problem to where it might cause an accident. And of course, you know, it's going to hurt people. So that's what they're trying to do. They're just covering their ass. That's one of the red tapes, you know, is the physical. The physical is a bad deal. A lot of drivers fail the physical for one little problem, and there's not really that big of a problem. Other drivers have tons of problems, and they pass a physical. It all depends on who the doctor is. You know, they tried to get it to where we're only going to have so many doctors, or, you know, the doctors have to get a special permission to be a physical giver. It used to be any doctor. As long as it had an MD by the name, they didn't care. Now they're letting nurse practitioners give physicals because there's not enough doctors at all of these workers' comp and work-related doctor's offices where everybody can go in and get physicals and checkups and drug tests. They don't have doctors. They got nurse practitioners doing that, you know. So if they're letting them do that, then, you know, I mean, what's the issue here? You know, a lot of it might be with the requirements for, I don't know. To me, there's not a lot of federal government red tape that you have to jump through. It's all insurance-related red tape. It's all, you know, like lawyer red tape that these carriers have because they're covering their ass. That's the biggest issue. So when you're a driver out there, I mean, let's face it. We know people that are truck drivers that can't get hired onto certain companies because these companies are not going to hire those drivers. They're not going to hire drivers with bad work history. They're not going to hire drivers with bad accident history. According to the government, you have a CDL. You can drive, but you can't. Nobody will hire you. Even if as an owner-operator, nobody will hire you. If you got a bad work record, bad accident history, you know, have trouble getting a physical, these carriers are not going to hire you. It's not when he says government red tape, there's not a lot of government red tape. The government red tape is pretty easy. You know, the hardest thing with the government is getting your own authority, which most drivers don't even have. Most drivers are all owner-operator, leased to a carrier, or they are company drivers. Okay, the independents, the ones that have their own authority, technically, it needs to be harder to do that. It needs to be harder to get your own authority. That's what needs to happen. You know, we see this all the time. Operating authorities get shut down because they hire bad drivers, and they have, you know, bad history with their trucks getting shut down and their drivers getting in trouble, having accidents. You know, those DOT numbers, those operating authorities get revoked. And then, you know, maybe 6 months later, the same guy that was running that company with that authority, he starts up a new authority with, you know, a different name or a different partner or whatever. You know, that's the kind of stuff that the government should be going after. But, you know, it's too easy, I think. You know, the red tape he's talking about, you know, with regards of hiring drivers, it has nothing to do with the government. The government is not the one in the way of drivers getting hired. I'll just tell you that right now. Anybody disagrees with me, let me know. Because that's what I think. And that's what it is. There's a lot of people out there that, like you say, they need, you know, they get 1 year physicals, they get, you know, the 6 month physicals, they got bad, you know, those, there's a lot of carriers. It's hard to get the job when you don't have that kind of stuff. So yeah. So like I said, you know, that ad there to me, it's not, it's too vague for one. It doesn't really specify exactly what he's talking. I mean, in the ad, he's talking about getting drivers to work, which, like I said, I'll tell you, there's not a lot of red tape in the way of drivers just wanting to work. That's not the problem. You got lawyers and insurance companies are the ones that are getting in the way of hiring drivers because they only want certain drivers that have certain work history, you know, certain health requirements and certain, accident reports, stuff like that. You know, those are the ones, you know, and then, I mean, and that's, I mean, that's all I got to say about it. That's all I can tell you, you know. Let's see, what else does it say? This bill seeks to ease supply chain issues. It says allow state and third-party examiners previously authorized to administer the commercial driver's license skills test to also administer the CDL knowledge test without having to complete the training course. So what he's saying is, I guess he's saying that the third party, like, you're allowing the truck driving. See, now this is where you got to watch out right here. Look at here. This is what happened. Okay. Now, when I'm reading this, it says allow the state and third party examiners previously authorized to administer the commercial driver's license skills test to also administer the CDL knowledge test without having to complete the training course. Okay, so that's the thing. So all I remember is in the state of Texas, when I went to get my CDL, you first go get your permit. You got to pass a test, a written test, right? And you take it. They got it on the computer now probably these days or whatever. But it's a knowledge test, and you get a permit. And then the truck driving school will not allow you to come to their school without that permit. After you take the class at the truck driving school, you go back to the DPS office and most of the time you're using the school's truck to take the skills test at the DPS office by a trooper. A trooper will give you the test. Okay. Now, a lot of them, you know, what happens is the test is already set. You know the route, because the truck driving school will spend a whole week doing nothing but going over the route. Take this road, turn here, stop here, you know, all that. They're to tell you to do everything. You know, when I took a test, there was a really tight turn, turning left off the service road onto a bridge, crossing over the interstate. And it was pretty much the last big turn, the last hard turn. And they would tell you, you know, be careful. This is a tight turn. And you do it. Everybody does it at least 10, 20 times before you actually take the test. So you're taught to make that turn. So taking that turn shouldn't be that hard when you've done it tons of times. And that's what they do. They give you that test. That way when then somebody else, the DPS officer, gives you the test, and they're expecting you to do well because they know you're going over the route. And I had already driven for a while. I learned in the military. I took the test to get the Texas CDL. The DPS officer was like, you know, I didn't think you were going to make that turn. I was like, I knew I was going to make that turn, because I did the one where I pulled up and turned sharp. You know, you do that where the trailer's got plenty of room. He didn't think that my nose of the tractor was going to clear, because that's how it makes it tight, is there's a wall right there where you can't really, you know, take a lot of room. So you got to pull up, turn tight. That way the trailer clears, because there's another wall that you got to get around on the backside. So that kind of stuff. So what I'm saying here, what I'm looking at here, is that what they're doing is they're allowing the truck driving schools to administer these tests, all of it. And then what happens is what you do is you just, because we do this with motorcycles here in the state of Texas, you take a class to learn how to ride a motorcycle. Once you pass that class, then you go down to the DPS office, give them the little piece of paper, and they put M right on your license. You don't take any kind of test to be a motorcycle, to ride a motorcycle for the state of Texas at the DPS office. Everything is done at the school. So what it sounds here is they're making it where, I guess, all the states can do it or whatever, where you could just do everything at the school, the third party examiners. That's what we're seeing here getting done. Now, they did this in Memphis. Swift Transportation had a school in Memphis. The state of Tennessee was allowing them to administer their own tests at the school, and the FBI came and shut them down because they were doing it illegally. Okay, a lot of people got in trouble. A lot of people at the DP, and it was like, and they were in cahoots with the people at the DPF's office. They were giving out CDLs, but they were actually weren't passing the test. So, problem number one. Next one, it says allow licensed drivers who are accompanying commercial learner's permits holders to move from the front seat of the truck cab to its sleeper berth. Well, see, now here's the other thing too, and I don't know about this one, because so this one, what a lot of these big companies are trying to get this passed here, where they want to be able to have a truck driver that has a learner's permit, not a CDL, but a learner's permit, and they want to be able to send them out and run team. That's what they want to do. I don't know. I got a problem with that too. I don't want drivers that shouldn't be, you know, I mean, it's not that hard to get. I mean, really, anybody out there, how many people failed? These truck driving schools don't fail enough. That's the problem. Okay. When I was getting my motorcycle endorsement, like I said, I was doing it. The third party was doing it. We had 12 people. Okay. Three of them failed. All right. And I didn't really expect it, you know, I mean, one guy I knew he probably wasn't going to pass, but the other two, I was shocked. I thought everybody did pretty good. You know, I remember a driver back in the day at the truck show. He said that. He said, the truck driving schools, we shouldn't be looking at how many people they pass. We should be looking at how many people they fail. When they don't fail a lot of people, that's a problem. Because that's that way, you know. But I don't think they just want to put people in the sleeper berth so they can get down the road with a learner's permit. And they were doing that because I think they were trying to do that in Salt Lake City. Dick Simon and a bunch of other companies that used to operate out of there, maybe even England, was trying to do it. Because what it was that the driver lived in Idaho, or the driver lived in Montana, or the driver lived in Nevada, or the driver lived in Colorado or Wyoming. Well, the school is in Utah. So what they would do is they would go and they would get their school, they'd go to the school, get their CDL, and then they can't drive a truck back to their home. They got to take a bus or get a ride back home, go get their CDL in their home state, you know, and then a lot of them, they did it that way where they had a permit out of Colorado. They take a bus over to Utah. They get their CDL and pass everything, but they still got the permit. They got to go back to Colorado to get their CDL. They can't take a truck. So the carrier was trying to say, hey, let me put him in a truck. That way, when he goes and gets his CDL, he can go to work. But I got to spend money to put him back on a bus, bring him back here. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, the driver doesn't like that. But, you know, that's just, to me, that's silly. I don't know. It says allow states to administer driving skills tests to applicants from other states. Now, see, that's what they're trying to do. There you go. I don't know. Maybe that's what they need to do. Maybe everybody needs to have a test. But the problem is you're going to have California. California's test is supposed to be really hard. And a lot of carriers stopped hiring new students out of California because the truck driving school is too hard. So that's what it is. It's like, okay, what we're probably going to start seeing, and it might be all right, because when we deal with our license to carry a firearm, it's the same way. This state and this state agree with each other. This state and this state agree with each other. Hey, I can carry, your guys can carry in my state, my guys can carry in your state. You know, we agree. So same way, Utah needs to agree with Colorado, and they need to agree with Nevada. Everybody needs to agree. That might be something, because that's the same we deal with the firearms. But like I said, if you live in a state where it's, you know, most states are not going to agree with California. California's test is too hard. So, no, that's not going to happen with California. That kind of thing's going on there, looks like. And so the bill was referred to the Committee of Commerce, Science, and Transportation after it was introduced in February. It says that other trucking industry changes that Kelly has supported include a truck driver apprenticeship pilot program for 18 to 21. The 18 to 21 deal, to me, the rules that they set in motion for that, you know, they required if you were under the age of 21 and you were, most states allow driving a big truck inside the state, you know, 18 to 21. So like state of Texas, state of Missouri, a lot of these states, you can stay in the state. You can drive a truck, but you can't leave the state. So then they say, well, in order to be in this pilot program, you got to have electronic logs. You got to have like all of the lane departure warning stuff in the trucks. Basically you got to have a new truck with all the, you know, front end collision, all that stuff. It's all got to be in the truck in order to qualify for the apprenticeship program, you know, and then, like I said, electronic logs and all that. So I don't know if anybody took advantage of it. Some people did. I don't know if they, you know, maybe some people that were, you know, in cahoots with the senators or whatever to make it look good. But I don't think very many people, you know, took advantage of that. So, but yeah. You know, these politicians, they're telling you, you know, I mean, hey, if you live in Arizona and you think that's a good idea, you want to vote for Kelly. You know, like I said, he votes for the Democrats most of the time, and he is a Democrat. I don't think he's that liberal, but I guess he knows how to get votes and not get canceled. So that's what he's talking about. So yeah, that's about what we got. Like I said, don't forget to go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We're on YouTube Live. Also, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can get us right here at redneckandeyes.com, 515-602-9731. Is that the right number? Yeah, 515-602-9731. That's the right number. And that's where you can call in and be part of the conversation. Or you can listen along. Like I said, you can also follow us on YouTube. We're also on YouTube Live. And that's redneckandeyes.com. You'll find links to all those. So go check it out. And let's see. Other things going on in the news I was going to check out. And I don't know. We'll get to see. We'll see what's going on. But I was going to just step away and get a drink of water and take a little break. And we'll go from there. So here you go. Yeah, one of the great sponsors I like to thank, and that's a Load to Ride Transportation. You go check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And like I said, go give them a holler over there. That's a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. So we appreciate all their support. That's Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. We'll be back here in a second. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio, 515-602-9731, redneckandeyes.com. We'll see you in a bit. Go ahead and jump.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Everybody, hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. I'll be back here. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation, just listen along. Also, redneckandeyes.com. That's our website where you can go links to all of our social media accounts and our links to our great sponsors, too. One other great sponsor I like to mention, that's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the app for truckers. You can download their app from your app store, whether you got an iPhone or Android, whatever. You can download their app where you can track freight, book freight, and you can even look at, like, you know, plan your route, fuel stops, truck stops, parking, Walmart even. So go check it out. Like I said, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. Appreciate all their support of Redneckinize. So we were just talking about, you know, the government changing its rules and a senator wanting to clear the red tape, and I said, well, there ain't much red tape. It's all the lawyers and insurance companies out there creating a lot of red tape. And, you know, as long as there's drivers out there that can't do right, there's always going to be people out there trying to keep them off the road, regardless of whatever the government says. So what do you think about that? I don't know. Let me know. 515-602-9731. Let's go to the phones here.
That's
what's going
good.
On, my friend? Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin with this mess. I mean, what is there to say? I mean, you know, they're going to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing.
Make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like we were talking about it at the beginning is that the Department of Labor is going to try to change its rules on what makes up an owner-operator, what makes up an independent contractor. And a lot of people, remember back in the day, everybody was always saying, you know, well, you're a lease purchase. They can't govern. You're paying the bill on that truck. They can't do that. Or if you're, you know, leased on to FedEx, they can't make you wear a uniform. You're a contractor. They can't do that. Basically, if you're, you know, if you're agreeing to operate under their authority, you're pretty much going to do whatever they tell you. You know, if you don't, just go ahead and walk. Just go ahead and walk. And a lot of the big things that we have to start sticking up for, I think, is the brokers. You know, I mean, a lot of these carriers that we lease to, they don't stick up to the broker. And so we were forced to make a decision. Are we going to abide by what the carrier says? Hey, just do what the broker tells you, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, I don't want to do that because they're not being right. I don't want to use them no more or whatever. And we see that all the time with, like, Landstar, because Landstar, not only do they have independent drivers, they have independent brokers and agents, too, that do what they want to do.
That's what I was getting ready to say. It ain't the companies are also they're the broker too. So how do you know they're a company one minute, the broker the next?
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Every damn company out there has got a brokerage.
Yeah, I mean
they're either just a company or got a brokerage. So how in the hell can you play the system? You beat the system.
That's what it is. Yeah, the system's not. Yeah, you got to either play along or go find something else.
Yeah, well, you might as well go find something else because you ain't going to play along with it because you can't beat them at their own game.
Right.
And you know, we said that. The government's letting them get away with it. There needs to be – they want to put all these – everybody said, well, we don't need more government. You know, we don't need more government in our business. You know, yeah, true to an aspect. But where the government needs to stick their nose is they need to get into the trucking again, but they need to get out of our damn pockets and start getting into them brokers and start checking the brokers out.
Yeah.
Start putting some oversight on them. Forget about us for a while and go out and start looking into them.
That's the one
because
thing.
There's a whole lot of horse crap going on out there. Them brokers is just they're killing everybody.
You know, we don't get along with OIDA that well for all their shenanigans that they play. But one of the things that they do try to do is they say, hey, you know, we need more accountability for the brokers, you know, because there's not enough. And that's one thing that they say. But again, they say it, but nobody's doing anything about it. You know, we just saw, I just played a video for that Senator Kelly out there in Arizona, and he's got an ad on Twitter where he's trying to say, hey, I'm going to try to clear up the red tape so we can get these truck drivers back to work. And it's like, well, wait a minute now. What red tape are you trying to get rid of? Because a lot of it's good. You know, I mean, if you ask me, it's probably too damn easy to become a truck driver with your own authority out here these days. You know, you got too many people out here that shouldn't be out here.
Look around. When you go to work tonight, just look at every truck that passes you.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Every truck that passes you, look at their DOT number. They're all 6- and 7-digit numbers now. What in the hell?
Right.
Yep. You know, everybody that wants one can get one. It's not hard.
Even Swift, Schneider, all those companies, they all got new DOT numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they get in a bunch of trouble with their old one and the regulations and everything, and then the next thing you know, they pop up, well, we'll just get new DOT numbers, start all over again. We're a brand new company.
Yeah.
And they get away with it.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know, but it's going on.
Yep, there was another deal I was going to – let's see, let me pull this up here and get over here. I was gonna pull up the pictures from my Trump rally.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how that all went.
Well, I'll tell you what, I went. I'm glad I went, and I'll tell you what, I'll never go again.
What do you mean you never go again?
It is a pain in the ass. So the biggest thing is you got to make sure you get there like super early if you want a good seat. I don't know how many people actually showed up, but there were way more people than the place held. So the problem was if you got there late, you weren't going to be able to get a seat. So all of my videos I had were from me like standing in the back. Now I could see Trump, and he wasn't that far away. But I wasn't in, like, the big old stadium area where everybody could see. They had it and it's kind of like they made their own. They brought bleachers in and made their own little area. And it wasn't really that big. So after about him talking for about 10 or 15 minutes, I left. I was like, okay, I mean, he says the same things over and over again. You know that. You know, he's not saying anything different than he's always said. You know, So I just wanted to see the shenanigans and see what was going on out there. And there's a lot of people selling the shirts and all that stuff. That was pretty funny. A lot of cool stuff like that. There was they're always selling the Biden shirts and everything.
Right.
I got me a yellow Don't Tread on Me t-shirt. That was pretty nice. I got me one of those. And they had some food trucks there selling food. But I struck up some conversations with some interesting people, and they were all real, you know, they were cool people, and a couple of them a little crazy. You know, one guy was bragging that he was an Uber driver and he was in Austin, and he thinks Trump, you know, was the best thing since sliced bread, and I'm like, well, not the best thing, but I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, there's a couple of crazy nuts there, but I mean, there are a lot of people. Young, old, you know, everybody just, it wasn't like a, you know, everybody claims it's like a Klan meeting, and it's not at all. It's not at all. It is a lot of different people, different backgrounds, you know, country folk, city folk, young, old, all of them, you know, bringing their kids, kids bringing their parents, you know, that kind of stuff. It was, people showed up, and, like, you know, there weren't that many people there that I recognized from, like, the media or whatever. The media, I saw the media post some pictures, and they were, like, there at 8 o'clock in the morning when everything first opened. They took a couple of pictures and then left because they weren't there, you know, during the time. To me, if I was Trump, I wouldn't let the press in there at all. I would tell the press, you know, they, according to the media, according to the news, the local newspaper here, they said that the campaign people, the people that were throwing the event, refused to share with them the actual number of people that came to the event, you know, whatever the head count that they got or whatever. You know, there was a lot of people there and everything. They said it held the bleachers that were up there. They said they held like 3,500 people. And so there had to be at least 5,000 to 7,000 people there.
Really?
And there were more. I mean, the people were still coming in. When I left, people were still walking in. And the funny thing is that, so, I mean, we had Secret Service there. They had two big semi-trucks. I took a couple of pictures of the where you could see the semi-trucks, and there were snipers sitting on the semi-trucks. And they had tripods with the binoculars, you know, those big binoculars. They're just sitting on tripods, and they're sitting in a chair. And every time they were told, there was a plane came over, like one of those biplanes that did skywriting. He came over to the area and started flying over. And what we saw a drone intercept him, and he left. Yep. So yeah, it was definitely. And then Trump didn't get there. So like Trump, everybody, there were people talking. People started talking at like around 3:30, 4 o'clock. Trump was supposed to come out at 7. Well, at 6:30, they got on the loudspeaker and they said, "Everybody look up and you see Trump Force One flying over," and it was Trump's plane, you know, Trump Airlines, his private jet was flying over the venue, and then he had to go land at the airport, and it took him another 30, 40 minutes to drive out there. And we saw him drive up, because you could see off in the distance, because, you know, it's all flat out there. So he drove up. They had about 6 or 8 cars. They had an ambulance, everything. You know, they Secret Service still covers him just like normal. So yeah, everywhere he goes. And there were a lot of security people there, you know, the sheriff and the DPS and a couple of other private security people we saw. One guy, I had to tell him his T-shirt was too tight or not tight enough. He was walking around flexing his biceps. You know, he was wearing like a polo shirt, and he's got like his, you know, he's got his gun belt on with all of his tasers and his Glock and all that stuff, handcuffs and everything. And then he's wearing like these fingerless gloves, and then he's got that tight T-shirt on. And every time he's talking, you know, you can see him. He's like, "It's over there. You can tell." And he's like making sure everybody sees his muscles.
That was
how we passed the time. We were making fun of the cops, you know, and all that. And there were like we saw a couple of people that had what I saw was like FBI badges and all that like that. And I told the people around me, I'm like, "Uh-oh, is there the good FBI or the bad FBI?"
Yeah, really.
You know,
is there any good right now?
Yeah, right. So every time you see cops, you were like, "Is that a good cop or a bad cop?" And they had the guy was bringing in ice to put into where they were selling water and drinks. And the guy was bringing in ice, and the checkpoint there where they were bringing in supplies for all the food trucks and everything, there were dogs and metal detectors going over all the food and ice and everything. Every time a guy brought in a thing, he'd have to get searched every time, in and out. The people that were inspecting everybody, like the metal detectors and all that, they were all TSA wearing those blue shirts, like at the airports. So I got kind of scared of that too, because those people are kind of crazy too. So yeah. But yeah, all in all, you know, it's a pretty good time. Like I said, it was one of the things that I witnessed, and I'll probably never, I have no desire to ever do that again. You know, staying outside. Now, if you showed up outside, now see what I'd like to do. I think we could probably do this if we got another chance again, is go over there early and sit up outside with all the people selling those Trump T-shirts, and we could sell some redneckanized T-shirts sitting out there.
Hey, do you think?
I mean, I was passing out the little – I got some wristbands left, and I had the poker chips, and they were like, "Wow, that's cool." You know, so, you know, people – people thought that was pretty good. I had my hat on, you know, that said Redneck and Eyes on it and everything. So yeah, I mean, they're, you know, it was cool stuff.
You left too early. You should have waited until Trump got there and throw him a handful.
Well, I was too far away, and there were so many people there. It was just crazy. I just, you know, when I realized I couldn't get that close, I'm like, you know what, I'm done. You know, I did get to see. I didn't realize it was him, but I don't know if you watched the news. You know that guy that used to be like the acting Border Patrol official, like the head of the Border Patrol? He's that guy. He's always talking. Like, he gets up there, and he's like, you know, screw those guys. You know, I can't remember his name, but he was walking around. And people were stopping him, taking his picture. And I'm like, who is that guy? And it was like, he used to be he was the acting Border Patrol director, or the director of the Border Patrol and all that. And I said, you know, the guy looks big. He looks like a big fat man. Like, he looks like he's 6'5 on TV, but he was only like maybe 5'9, you know, 5'8. He was still big. He was a big fat guy. But that was interesting.
Wow.
Yep.
All right.
But yeah, decided to get on here and fire it up. We're gonna do some. I'm gonna go test ride a electric Harley on Friday.
You know what? you know what? You just need to just quit.
Yeah, there ain't nothing
right about that.
I know. There's no clutch and no gear shift, so the left side of your body is useless. You know, there's no gear or clutch, so all you got are two brakes.
About like half the truck drivers anymore.
You know?
They got automatic. They're useless. They don't
yep.
need them in there.
Exactly. Yep.
They
yeah,
get drivers in there. Why don't they just get some monkeys to set the seats now? The truck drives itself pretty much.
They're supposed to introduce a new models of the electric where they're going to have saddlebags and it be like a regular bike. You know, it's going to look like one of those tall off-road bikes. It's what it's going to look like, I guess.
You know what they're working on? Harley's working on bankruptcy is what they're working on. Because I'm telling you now, while the newer generation might buy them, but the older people, they tried that stuff a couple of years ago, and they found out that just about did that flopped.
I think the electric bike is going to take off in Europe. I think there's a lot of people going to do that, and I think Harley's trying to get in on that. You know what they tried? They made a lot of those. They call them a Pan American, which is like an off-road Harley. It's like the off-road all-terrain motorcycle, and it's only 1,100 cc's. So it's probably the smallest motor that Harley makes.
Harley better do something because right now Harley's in a bad way.
Well, they stopped a lot of their models. They stopped they don't make the Sportster anymore. You know, so their smaller bikes they're not making. They're just trying to stay high end is what they're hoping to do, is just stay high end where, you know, if you want to buy a nice bike, you're going to buy a Harley. You're going to buy a cheap bike, you go buy something else. But I don't know. I just, you know, I got mine, so I'm happy. But what do you call the dealerships having demo days down here? Because, you know, everywhere else is done shut down. So they wait till the end of the season to come down here. So they're doing all their demos this weekend. So yeah. But
I don't know. We got ours, but I guarantee you I'd never buy another one.
Right, right. I tell you what, just like you're saying, that the Vulcan you got is just as nice.
Yeah, that Harley ain't it ain't what everybody thinks they are. In my opinion, I mean, Harley's just all it is a name. It's just like Kenworth, Peterbilt, Freightliner. Nobody rides Freightliner. I don't ride no Freightliner. It ain't Peterbilt, ain't a Kenworth, ain't nothing. The same way with Harley. If it ain't a Harley, you ain't got a bike. You know what? All it is a name.
Yeah, that's true.
All it is.
I tell people all the time. It blows my mind. You know, they. You get into the drinking whiskey, what's the best whiskey? Well, whichever one you like, that's the best one.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Right. Whatever you like.
Yep. And it's like, you ride a motorcycle? What kind of motorcycle you ride? What's the best kind? And he's like, well, if you don't ride a Harley, you ain't nothing. I was like, well, wait a minute. I thought maybe I could just ride what I want to ride and not be ridiculed. I was like, nah, you know, you can't do that. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'm like,
no,
everybody just be happy. Ride what you want to ride. There's a lot of people that won't show up to the to some of the events because they don't ride a Harley. And they're like, I didn't think I could ride. You know, when Harley sponsors a ride, they didn't think they don't think they're allowed to ride because they don't ride a Harley.
Nobody did ever come in there on a moped if you can keep
yeah.
up.
Exactly. I was like, there's a lot of people that show up and those they got those bikes. All they do is 55 miles an hour. You know, and it's like I was like, well, as long as you don't get on the highway, you can ride along with us. This one girl shows up. She's got one of those bikes. It don't do but maybe 50, 55 miles an hour. And whenever we do a ride, you know, she catches up with us when we get toward the end because she couldn't get on the highway, you know, or she left early, you know, before everybody else did so that she could get ahead.
What do you mean she can't get on the highway? What's the minimum speed out there?
Well, I mean, I'm saying she can get on the highway. It's just she, you know, once the ride gets on the road, everybody's doing 70 and they leave her behind, so.
See, that's almost as nice as the truck shows. They have a truck show, and then they have the convoys at the truck show, and you're supposed to go out like a light parade and everything, you know, and show, you know, so everybody rides around single file with their lights and everything and their horns, and you've always got them idiots out front. You know, it's a truck show. It's a light parade. It's a convoy. They want to go out and run 80 mile an hour.
Oh, yeah,
wait
I agree.
A minute.
Yeah. Well, that's just like the ride.
Wait
you know,
a minute.
Like guys...
The same thing up at Mill Hall.
Yeah.
When we went to Mill Hall, we got in that one. Me and Holly and Mike and them was in that one. And I'm like, we're out there running around. We're driving like 40 mile an hour. There's construction zone out there. Some of us got stopped. And guys up front driving 65 mile an hour. It's like, what the hell? You know, what is the big hurry? You know, why?
Yeah.
What's the rush? You know, it's crazy. But it's just what it is. That's just the way this industry is anymore. You know, it's the same way with everything. So, all right, Ed, I'm going to let you go. Let you wrap it up so you go to work.
All right, sounds good.
I just said, hey, he's actually doing a show tonight. I said, well, hell, let's call in then. So, I was just trying to get some stuff done around the house here. I pushed out there pushing dirt all afternoon. Straight the other lot up and got some of that garbage cleaned up and working on a truck. So I guess I'll go to work tomorrow, maybe.
Sounds good.
Starting to like this semi-retirement stuff.
Right, right.
It just don't pay real good, that's all. So, all right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, now.
All right, be careful.
All right. Yep, sure will. Good deal. All right, the cool deal. Yeah, we're going to call it a day here, get things fired up again. Let's see here what we got. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. That'll get that going, and then we'll get over here and get to close it out. So, yeah, like I said, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We're here every weekday. We're live. Every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody following along and listening to us and supporting Redneck and Eyes. We appreciate all that. Think of our great sponsors, DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com, Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com, and Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. Appreciate all their support. And like I said, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, give us a holler. That's 515-602-9731. You can call in, be part of the conversation, or you can just listen along to our YouTube channel where we're here live every time we do a show. Like I said, follow us. You can go redneckandeyes.com. You can follow us on our Facebook page, Twitter account, our Instagram, all that stuff. Links to all those are at redneckandeyes.com, and links to all our great sponsors are at redneckandeyes.com too. And you can check out, we got a store. We got T-shirts and hats, stickers, decals for the truck, stuff like that. And we also have things where, like, you know, updates of what we're doing, where we're going, all that kind of stuff. And we've got pictures and photos of where we're at and all that, you know, on Facebook and also on our website. So appreciate everybody supporting us. And like I said, I'll see you tomorrow. And we'll just hang out here. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you later.
To me. Oh,
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.